出た。
Good morning. So happy to see you guys. It's always exciting to be here. You know,
at 10 o'clock. God,
10 o'clock, yep. We half an hour later, it's almost like time savings or something like that.
You know, you look better. You must have got some more beauty sleep, right?
Yep, I see it already. All right, you guys ready to stand up and sing along with us a little bit this morning? So we are the worship team, but we are not the worship. Where's the worship at? Right there, right in your seat. That's where the worship happens. We come together in song, lift up God's name. All right, let's all sing together. Repeat after me. His love endures forever. Repeat. We'll get there. His love endures forever. You sing.
Endures forever.
That's better. His love endures forever. God and King, get
His love endures forever.
Oh, He is good. He is above all things.
His love endures forever.
Sing praise, sing praise. Yeah. With a mighty hand and outstretched arm,
His love endures forever.
Been reborn.
Love endures forever.
right, we got a new song for you guys this morning. You guys excited about that? It's called My Lighthouse. You guys need a lighthouse today? You need that beacon of hope and light? Amen.
Good seeing everybody here today. Great to have you here today. That song you will be singing later on, I will guarantee you'll be sitting there, you'll be like, my lighthouse. It'll hit you. It's catchy. But more important is the message behind it, that Christ is there to lead us. I have a couple things that we want to touch on. And I know we're going to have, Marsha's going to come up and some others are going to come up and share some things. The Pregnancy Center Dinner, Judy's here. Pregnancy Center will have an annual dinner fundraising banquet October the 2nd, which is a Thursday at 6:30 at Singley Fire Hall in Elkton. And the author of The Shack, William Paul Young, it will be the guest speaker. Judy?
There's limited seating, so
Okay. So if you think you can go ahead and see Judy. The other really important thing is a classroom switch today. Those who were in A, or it was just pre-K that you took them here to second, to two. Pre-K to two is over there, right here. And three through five is over here in A. B, A, B. Okay, there we go. All right. And the other announcements, please go ahead and check. The one that we want to make an announcement for right now is we are going to have a Haven movie night on the 21st of this month, which is September. It's not August. It may feel like it, but it is the 21st of September. And I know it's going to be at 6:30. Marcia is going to come up, and I think Donna as well. But right now, as they're coming up, we're going to go ahead and show you a little bit about this movie.
Jesus, that's eternal.
And that's it?
That's it. That's what we're going with.
I'm Professor Radisson. This is philosophy 150.
This semester, I propose that we refuse to waste our limited time together debating the existence of the big man in the sky. Fill in the papers I've just given you with three little words. God is dead.
I can't do what you want, Chris.
We've gotten your results back. You have cancer.
The answer's simple. Drop the class.
Like it's something that God wants me to do. I can't just turn away from it.
You really should go see Mom.
What's in it for me?
You cannot bring yourself to admit that God is dead, and you will need to defend the antithesis. God's not dead,
he's surely alive. You're here because that voice inside you isn't happy with the choices everyone else wants you to make.
It's not easy, but simple.
Mr. Wheaton, are you ready?
We're going to put God on trial.
What do you say to people who don't believe?
We disown him, he'll disown us.
You think you're smarter than me, Wheaton? You think there's any argument you can make that I won't have an answer for? In that classroom, there is a God. Yeah. I'm him.
It doesn't seem quite fair to me.
I can't help but the boy wants to make a fool of himself.
Look, I know I am in the minority here, but I actually believe in God.
I think you're here kind of hoping that this stuff is for me.
I'm praying for you.
To me, he's not dead. He's alive.
What I want is for them to make their own choice. That's what God wants.
You just want to ensnare them in your primitive superstition.
Why do you hate God?
Science supports his existence. You know the truth. So why do you hate him? Why do you hate God?
The one correction is it is 6:30, not 6 o'clock.
Okay. Good morning, everybody.
You all saw the trailer. I want to say I did preview the movie, and I do know some people that have seen it, and it is really an excellent movie. Haven Community Church, in cooperation with our Footprints Ministry, we want to do a little bit of an outreach. So the day before the movie, we will be at the Elkton Fall Fest. Haven will be represented there, so you can come, and there's so many great activities there. But we're trying to reach out into the community, and believe it or not, like this movie said, there are people out there that don't believe in God. And if you know of any of those are the people you want to invite that night. This is that type of a movie where people could actually leave believing in Jesus. So it's a powerful movie. It's funny. It was top at the box office. It's free. It's here. It's at 6:30. We pushed the time back a little so we could get all the Paris Foundation volunteers so that they could come enjoy the movie with their family. But if God is laying someone on your heart to invite, it's September 21st at 6:30. I'm going to let Donna talk a little bit more about it. And then also the following weekend is our Haven Church picnic, as Jack has said, for anybody that likes to eat, this is for you. And I do have three judges for the bake-off, so I need one more. So if anybody else wants to be a judge, it's a lot. Oh, we got one. Okay. So thank you all for your cooperation on that. And if you have any questions about the movie, the tickets, you need flyers or anything, we'll be in the back after service.
We also are looking for people to help us with donations for both the Fall Fest and for the movie night. We're going to be passing these around, and we need people to help us out at the Fall Fest. Just come out for an hour, 2 hours, passing out information about the movie, inviting people. We're going to give out popcorn and tickets, and we are also going to give out have a little game and give out little prizes for that as well. So we are looking for help for that. And then the other thing is for the movie night, we need people to come help us be ushers, to greet the people as they come into our church, welcome them, help them find a seat. We'll be giving out popcorn that night and some drinks. So we need just to welcome people and let them know that Haven's here. We're a community of people that love God and love our community. And we just want to show that night to them and help them on their way to maybe finding out their path that they need to go. So we just thank you for your help.
Oh, and one more quick announcement. I also want to thank Michael Burdinka. You know him as our greeter. He has done a wonderful job. He secured our Fall Fest, so he's just really growing and trying to reach out to the community. He also got these incredible T-shirts for us, and I can't tell you, they're flying out of here. They're $10. They're a great way for you to, if you wear them, people might ask you, what's Haven? And then that's your opening. So they're in the back. We have all sizes, red and blue, $10. Thank you for your consideration.
All right, what I'm going to ask you to do, a lot of good stuff happens, so make sure you mark your calendars right now so that you can go ahead and have that. It's a really interesting and good movie, and just a lot of stuff going on. What I'm going to ask you to do right now, I know it's time for our young people to go to Sunday school or Shoreline Ministry. We're going to let them go ahead and head out, but I want you to just stand and greet one another, and then we're going to come back and pray and take our offering and tithe. If we could hit them real quick. Yeah, we're all good. We're good. I don't have any money on me right now. Continue with the rest of our service today. We know there'll be people back and forth and people going ahead with getting children to the right classes and all that kind of good stuff. So we have a couple prayer requests I want to go ahead and lift up. Jen is requesting, neighbor Tara had surgery last week and praying for a quick recovery. Damien's asking for prayers for her father-in-law, father-in-law's brother, Ray, who's battling cancer, and for her husband, Rich, who's been dealing with Lyme's disease. Joel and I just found out this morning that our uncle, we always call him Uncle Jerry, passed away this morning at 8 a.m. He had been pretty ill. So we want to lift him and my cousins and our whole family up in prayers, if you would. June is asking for her sister-in-law, Betty Ann, who was diagnosed with lung cancer. Someone asked for prayer for people in Africa and others who've been dealing with Ebola, and prayer for their father who had a stroke this week. Bobby Brickner has asked for prayer for peace and support for family of Jason Brickner, who died yesterday after a 5-year battle with colon cancer. And Lisa Osborne has asked, she has some praises. It's always good to have the praises in there. And she said she's praising for Jacob, my son, who was praying with a hurt football player on the side of the football game the other day. And a prayer for Will Barton for being awesome. Well, yeah, there we go. He is awesome. And she just wanted to say she loves her church family. And be praying for her mother. Right, and during this time, she's had some health concerns. All right, so let's go to the Lord in prayer right now. Heavenly Father, we just come before you now. We know there are so many needs, so many concerns, so many issues that are existing in our lives. Ultimately, God, we know that you're in control, and it's so hard at times to do the easiest thing, which is to let go and let you move in a mighty way. And so, God, for all these issues and concerns, for those that who have had surgery, for those who have and families who have experienced loss, sudden loss, we ask that you be with them. For the ever-present addiction problem that's not only here but around our country and our world, for all those things that just seem to make us ask questions like, where are you, God? Are you dead? We know that you're alive, and we thank you for that. We thank you for your Holy Spirit just moving in a mighty way into our lives. And God, there's so much out there that we could look and we could say, ah, it's all loss. But God, we know that nothing is a loss when you are in control, because you took the power of sin and death and broke it through your giving your own life and raising again. And so, Lord, we receive that today, no matter what we're going through, no matter what we're facing. And God, as a portion of our time to give back to you, whether we're experiencing it here live today or through our Sunday school or Shoreline ministry, or whether we're experiencing your presence through our church online, whatever it may be, God, we've been blessed by you in this ministry, and we ask that you bless us continually as we go ahead and give a portion back to you through your tithe and our offerings. And so, God, no matter what means we give that here or somewhere else, that, God, you bless it and multiply it like you did with the loaves and the fish, so that these many issues and concerns that are in our world can be done away with, not by our might, not by our strength, but by your Holy Spirit. And for that, Lord, we give you praise. Amen.
God in heaven, and here I am on earth. So I've let my words be few. Jesus, God in heaven, and here am I on earth. So I'll let my words be few. Jesus, I am so in love with you.
together.
And I stand in awe of you. And I stand in awe of you. And I'll let my words be few. Jesus, I am so in love with you.
Thanks, Gary. I love his amens.
Morning, and either in your Bible or it'll be on the screen. The first reading is from Proverbs, the 18th chapter, the 21st verse. The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. And our second passage is from James, the 3rd chapter, verses 3 through 5. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boast. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark.
I wish I didn't have to go to this stupid meeting. I always say the wrong thing. I'm just gonna embarrass myself again. I used to be nervous about going to meetings, but now I actually look forward to them. God always gives me the right thing to say. I heard he was an arrogant jerk. My buddy says he's full of himself, and he's impossible to be around. You know what? I'm gonna give him a chance. You never know until you get to know someone. He may be really a nice guy. You want me to help him? Are you kidding me? I can barely help myself, much less someone else. Wow. I'd be honored to reach out to him. I know I'm not perfect, but I remember when I needed the same thing, and a buddy reached out to me. Count me in. Succeeding at the big things has a lot to do with the little things. Words matter.
All right, how many people think your words matter? Okay. Today we are in our, welcome everybody who's here and those who are watching online. Today we're in our third week of our four-part series called Small Things, Big Change. And it's really interesting. I had this on the list for a series for a while, and I just kind of kept jostling around, and I've had a lot of people just say how much they are really enjoying the series. So we have two more weeks, including today. And as we enter this message, we have a key component to this message, and one of the key thoughts is it's not the big things in life, it's often the small things that result in the big changes that everyone sees. A lot of times we want the big changes, but we see those things, but it's not the big things that are changed, it's the small things. And last week, we dealt with our thoughts. How many of you caught yourself thinking about some stuff that, you know, or thinking the wrong way about things last week? And we talked about our thoughts because our thoughts matter so much. Why? Because our thoughts influence our words, which influence our actions, which influence our habits, which ends up helping us create our destiny. So it's the small things that begin to unpack how we exist and how we react. So today I want to talk to you about the power of your words. And the word is a powerful thing. When we look at John 1:1, or the beginning of John's gospel, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh," in a reference to Jesus. That God created by, anybody remember how God created? By doing what? Speaking into existence. So there's a power in our words, and that comes even from God, the power of creativity in his words. So in other words, what I learned is the words that we speak can be either life-giving words or they can be life-taking words. So what I want to say here is, let me say that again. In the words that we speak can either be life-giving words or they can be words that take life from us. So I want you to, so in order to change your life, we have to change the way we speak. So let me say that again. In order to change our lives, we have to change the small things and the ways that we speak. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm going to go to Gary because I think that's like an amen moment right there, right? I'm going to say it again and we're going to get the amen. You guys can go along with Gary. So what we say here again, I'm going to say it one more time. If you want to change the life you have, I'm going to say it a little different way. You need to change the words you speak. Amen. There we go. All right. I like that. It's a good thing. One of the things that we learn is James. Now, if you're not somebody who's been churchified your whole life, James is the brother of Jesus. And he is also probably one of the major responsible parties that many people believe, really believe in Jesus, because he became a leader in the early church, and before Jesus' death and crucifixion, he didn't even believe in Jesus. It was an encounter as being the Son of God. And yet, if you want to know how difficult that is, try to convince your siblings, if you have any, that you are the Son of God. And you can see how difficult that may be. And so, in that way, many people believe that James was a key component of that. And look what James says. Stephen read it for us today. But in James chapter 3, he writes, we can make a large horse go wherever we want by a means of what? A small bit, right? Has anybody ride horses or been around horses at all? That's a big animal. And if that animal really wants to do what it wants to do, you're along for the ride or for the fall. Either way. But this little bit, it's about this big in its mouth, you pull back, what does it do? Stop. You pull this way, where does it go? That way. You control it by a small thing, this massive individual. But he doesn't stop there. He says, a little rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever it chooses, even though the winds are strong. Anybody been in a boat? Anybody like sailing? That's kind of like a dying art in many cases. But I know people who love sailing, and what they'll do is they'll kick that rudder one way, and they'll just go, and I'm amazed at how they do these things. But, you know, if you have a motorboat, it's running the same way. You turn it this way, you're going where it's turning, where that rudder's telling you to go. It's the smallest part, really, in the boat in many times. But that's telling you where it's going to go. So in the same way, James says, in the same way, the tongue is what? Is a small thing that makes grand speeches. And in other words, what it's saying is a well-crafted speech can cause people to do a lot of things. But it says, but a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. In other words, there is power, there is life and death in our words. We don't think about that. Every day, we are either giving life through our words or we're taking life through our words. So I'm going to tell you, I'm going to warn you right now, parents and spouses, you're going to hate this message. You're going to hate every ounce of it because it's going to hit you time and time again. Let me give you for an example. If there is a marriage that is struggling, I can guarantee you that you will see a lot of life-taking words that are being exchanged between the parties. I will guarantee you. Usually people who have struggling marriage don't say, wow, you look fantastic today, and everything you do just makes me so happy. Usually it's nothing like that. Usually it's flaming darts back and forth. But if you show me a marriage that is strong and growing, I guarantee you there are life-giving words that contained in there. A lot of times we'll also see somebody who you don't like to be around. They feel small or unimportant. Many of you may have a boss that drives you crazy, and you have somebody who just is, you know those people who they just are, they just, you feel them coming in the room, and all the happiness and all the nice goes, shh. Anybody ever have a boss who was kind of like the one, and you're like, you know they're just going to, whatever you do, it's going to be wrong? Anybody? Okay, now with doing that, I would say there's not many life-giving words of encouragement in your job when it comes from them. But if you find someone who's fun to be around, someone who builds you up, then I bet you're going to see plenty of life-giving words. I was thinking in doing this, I had a lot of faces, and I'm going to change the names to protect the guilty today. I was thinking of a lot of my youth coaches. And I remember one coach, as I was playing football, it was drizzling and raining, and I weighed about 87 pounds with equipment. So you can see it was 1 or 2 years ago. And I remember I was hiking the ball, and he came over and couldn't get the grasp on it. And I was hiking the ball, and it hit his hands, and he dropped it. He dropped it for the second time and grabbed me by the butt pad, the ones that used to snap into the pants. You guys remember those things? And threw me through the line. I was probably like in sixth grade. I still can't stand this person in my life. You know what I mean? That is not somebody I look at and say, wow, what an incredible human being. God bless you. You know what I mean? It's somebody who, not only with me, but with others, gave life-taking words and made people feel the small. When I coach, and now in my life, I try to always, even if I yell at somebody about something stupid that they've done, which happens occasionally, or often, depending upon the day, I always make it a fact to pull them alongside and say, hey, here's... we're still cool, but here's what I want you to know. Because it's about building them up, not tearing them down. And for some reason, since it's the first day of football in the NFL, there's this prevalent attitude in football that we have to tear down people's characters and be life-tearing down. And we've seen that in all kinds of other sports or in all kinds of other things. And so you don't like to be around those people. Solomon in Proverbs chapter 12, Solomon, the wisest person that ever lived because he asked God for wisdom, made this statement. He said, the words of the reckless pierce like swords. Have you ever had anybody say anything that just cuts you? Whoever said sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me, never dealt with many of the people that I deal with in my life. Because some of the things that people say just really hurt a lot worse than if they took a stick and hit me across the back. I get over that after I hit them with a stick. But, you know, those are the kind of things. Every single one of us has probably been pierced before by somebody's statements. But the tongue, look what else then Solomon says. But the tongue of the wise brings what? Healing. Have you ever had those situations where you may have had somebody who, like a sword, boom, but you had somebody else who followed up and brought healing in a statement? He also says in Proverbs chapter 15, verse 4, the soothing tongue is a tree of life, but the perverse tongue does what? Crushes the spirit. I don't know how many of you have had your spirit crushed by a life-taking person with their words, but I can guarantee almost everyone has at one point in their life. It could be as meaningless as a situation of somebody looked at you and said, what in the world did you do to your hair? And you say, well, I paid lots of money for this. You don't like it? Oh, no. And then you're conscious the rest of the day. I remember I was at a wedding one time, and the mother of the bride came in and saw the bride and go, oh, who did your hair today? Yeah, you guys got it. She spent the next 45 minutes taking out her hair and fixing it. You think she'll remember that? You betcha. Or it may be like somebody say to you, what is wrong with you? Why are you not married at this point in your life? Or it may just be brutally upfront. What are you doing here? I can't stand to look at your face. You just annoy me so badly. And we have these things. Or somebody may say, you're just pathetic. You're pathetic. You're never going to amount to anything. Or what many people grow up with, and it's amazing the factor that I see grown adults in their 60s whose parents said, you were mistaken, I wish you had never been born, and how that affects them in those ages. But on the other hand, our lives are so blessed by life-giving words where you just have somebody that just says at a time, man, I am so proud of you. You are the best of the best. I'd marry you all over again. That's what Melissa says every second of the day. You're my dream come true. I'm so thankful that God put you in my life. Life-giving words heal the soul, and they build us up. And they really make a difference, a positive difference in our lives. One of the things that, in preparing for the service, is because of life and the hectic nature, I realize there's plenty of times in my life where I don't just stop and tell my kids the good things. That I come in and I'm like, you need to clean the room, you need to do this, you need to do that. Why is that there? How is that there? Why can't you get this right? Yeah, I thought you were supposed to weed eat. That doesn't look like weed eating to me. Yeah, we need a goat, he would do a better job, these kind of things. And does this ring with anybody? But then there are those times where I just recognize, you know, I need to stop life and say, you know what? Even though I'm upset that these things aren't being done, I want to tell you I'm really proud of the person you've become. A lot of times for parents, it's really hard to step back and just look. And if you spend time with other teenagers and other children, sometimes even though your kids drive you absolutely insane, when you at times you step around aside and you say, wow, I really have good kids, and I'm thankful to them and God for that. And tell them that we're proud of them, because they don't hear that a lot. And I got to tell you, sometimes you just need to hear it when you're in your 40s and 50s and 60s. You need to hear your parents tell you that. It's a good thing. I've met people through my life who have tried time and time and time again to go ahead and deal with never hearing thank you or I'm proud of you. So, and actually, Melinda, I'm going to switch this. I'm going to show you, because it's the first day of football, I was actually had the television on. Just for noise, like I need more. Just for noise, while I was doing some things in finalization, and this video came on, there's a series called A Football Life, and they had a guy named Jerry Rice. Now, if you're not a football player or know anything about football, if you do know about football, I'm going to put you on the same thing. He is the best receiver that ever played the game. Hands down. And he came from extremely humble beginnings with a father who was very domineering, who worked his tail off, taught him work ethic, but wasn't a very loving person. And this is just a clip yesterday from this A Football Life that shares right after Jerry Rice got drafted by the San Francisco 49ers.
You know, I got drafted. I can't believe I got drafted. So I'm running around the place, and I'm so excited. And I thought about my family.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
Now I can help my family, giving my parents a home, my brothers, my sisters.
The whole family was just, you can imagine coming. It's just like from rags to riches for us.
Even Joe Rice, the father who rarely uttered an encouraging word, showed his appreciation.
He just told me good luck and that he was proud of me. And those words, you know, that he was proud of me, it meant the world to me.
Did you see his face? Here's a guy who played the top of his career at the top position. Hall of Famer. A guy from a really small college that won Super Bowl after Super Bowl after Super Bowl. Who had achieved pretty much everything that you could want to in life. And when he talks about his dad in that day, tell him he's proud of him, he said, it changed my life. And so the power of words really do change us the way we do. So last week I gave you a thought audit. So today I want to give you a word audit. Here we go. A word audit. We want to look at the words that we speak and ask ourselves some of these things. Ask yourself, are you speaking more life-giving words or life-taking words to other people? And then we're also going to think about the words you speak to yourself. You have that printed on the box in your bulletin. So let's start with other people. In your notes, there's a list from 1 to 10. It looks just like this. And I want you to do it right now. And I want to think about the words that we're saying. Think about your inner self. And just start to think about these things. So first thing is we want to look at is other people. Are you speaking more life-taking words to other people? For instance, do you say, you did not do a good job at that? You are going to amount to nothing in your life. You're pathetic. I can't stand when you're in charge of something because it's not going to work out. You know, I wish I had never met you. You know, you drive me absolutely crazy. If you say those, then you can maybe look and begin to circle a word there. Or are you more life-giving words where you say, I'm so proud of you. You are the best husband or the best wife. I thank God for you. That was an incredible meal. You do a great job. You're a terrific employee. I'm so glad I hired you, et cetera, et cetera. If you say those, where are you? Go ahead and put your number down on that scale, that first one. And as you're struggling to find those good life-giving words that you give to people, I want to also lift up, what about yourself? A lot of times, we are the biggest critics and the biggest people that beat ourselves up in life. And so, when you speak to yourself, are you giving yourself life-taking words where you say, oh my gosh, I'm so nervous, I don't know why I'm in this, I'm going to blow this. Or are you saying to yourself, you wake up and you say, you're really no good. You're not good at what you do. You're not good at who you are. If people really knew who you were, they would be appalled at what goes on in your mind. You're always going to be bad. You know what your future's like, your past is like, so you know what your future's going to be. Or you just say something like this, I'm so tired of being tired. If you're that, then maybe you're more of a life taker of yourself. Or maybe you're more of a life-giving word to yourself that no matter the situation, you say, you know what? God is with me. God is going to bless me. God's in control. You wake up, and the worst day, you say, God, I am so thankful for this day. We're going to nail this one. We're going to kick it through the stadium. This is going to be great. And you say, with Christ, I can do all things that give me strength. Now, where's your number? Find your number there. I would dare say to bet that you didn't put a 10 on both of these. So guess what? There's a lot of area for improvement. Just to let you know, I didn't get near 10 myself. But if you want to change your life, you've got to change the words we speak. Our words have the power of life and power of death. So I want to share with you two very powerful rules about life-giving words in the remainder of our time here. Number one is one that you're going to say, I have heard that since I was a kid. And it usually is out of the mouths of mothers. If you can't say something nice, don't say anything at all. In other words, if you don't have anything nice to say, just skip it. Sometimes there are people in life that just feel so compelled to tell everybody what's wrong with them. And many of them came from the same people that gave us these voices, right? Some of us, I know, and seeing many of them, your mother may have said, if you don't have anything good, or your father may have said, if you don't have anything good, don't say anything at all. And then they tell you what's wrong with you. Okay? And then you can turn the words back around then when you get a little bit older. If we're consumed with worried thoughts, negative thoughts, earthly and worldly things, then we're captured by these situations. Look what it says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 9. And this one, you're going to go, ugh. So I want you to give me the reaction when you hear this. I didn't say it yet, so here, just hang in there. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Yeah. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mind. Now, if you're like me right now, you're trying to rank what is unwholesome and what is not, so you can get away and press the borders. But it's not really about totally what's going on in you. It's about how it affects other people. That when we have this unwholesome talk, that this is very convicting that, and when I'm saying something to someone, I don't realize the power negatively of the words that I'm passing on. I believe that if some of us just applied this one verse to our lives, your marriage, your parenting, your relationships, your work relationships, your parental relationships, your children relationships, your whatever relationships, your friendships, would make your trip to church or your viewing online today well worth this trip to church. If we begin to change the way we talk about others or to others, I think it would change a whole bunch in us. The King James Version has an interesting translation of this. It says, if thou does not have anything good to say, shut thine mouth. No, it doesn't. It doesn't really say that, but you get the picture. And don't be sitting here elbowing your spouse at this time. Turn your elbow back around and do this. It's a very simple, direct act, but guess what? I think we're all guilty of this, and I think that's why James said this. If you don't say something helpful for building them up, then we should just zip it, sit on it, and don't say anything at all. Now, before I further on here, that doesn't mean you don't make people aggravated. Because guess what? There are some people that are doing things and living so outside of God that the scripture says, by the measuring, it doesn't say, a lot of people say, don't judge. It does not say that. It says, do not judge lest you be judged. What that means is what you judge somebody else with is the same measuring stick that you're going to be measured by. So there are several things in my life that I don't have a problem with judging other people about, because I'm going to stand up to that same test if you apply it back to me based off of the gospel. I'm not doing it as elitist, saying I'm better than you. What I'm saying is, hey, if you are professing to be Christ Jesus, a child of Christ, you need to change some of this. And I'll tell you one place that that many are guilty of that we need to start is our moaning on social media. Let that sit in for a bit. That we love to tell people, we have people who come and sing praises to the Lord or profess to be a Christian and a follower of Christ, and then we go ahead on social media and sound like the biggest, most arrogant jerk in the world, and we talk negatively about other people and God's creation. That has no place in the body of Christ, just letting you know. And that's a litmus test I will be glad to stand up with and say that has no problem. If you have a problem scripturally, you go to your brother and sister in love. And when the church recaptures that, just maybe the church universal will work a little bit better when we love one another. All right? That's not in my notes. That's from God. All right? So I hope all this is from God, but that's a special one. That's an extra one there. So that's the first thing. Very simple, very direct. If we don't have something that's going to build somebody up, keep it to yourself a little bit. All right? But if they're doing something that's going to be harmful to them or harmful to Jesus, then we confront it in love, not in evil. Number two. Here you go. You're going to like this one better. If you think something good, say it. If you think something good, say it. Proverbs 16:24, again, Solomon says, gracious words are like a honeycomb. I like that cereal. Sweet to the soul and what? Healing to the bones. Gracious words. You notice it doesn't say thoughts? Like, for instance, let's say I come over here and I'm going to look at Becky and I'm going to go, she's like, you know, all that kind of stuff, because she has no clue. I'm thinking a good thoughts about her. Can't you tell? If you do this in a public place, they may call the police to arrest you as a stalker. But one of the things that you have to do is you have to be ready to share those things and say, Becky, I'm proud of the person that you become. I'm proud of the mother that you are, and just seeing how much you love that little one so much. It's awesome, because I've seen you grow up from a little kid and just have this joy and pass on the love that you received from awesome parents as well. That's good for her to hear, because I guarantee it's not easy every day, is it? But that's good for her to hear, and I mean that from my heart. All right? She didn't get anything else. She's good to go today. But many times we just keep it to ourselves and we tell other people, oh, isn't Becky doing so awesome? It's such a sweet little baby. I remember when she was so little. Tell her. Because guess what? Have you changed that many diapers of a little kid before? They want everything, don't they? They're little cute bundles of complete selfishness. And yet, you're exhausted and you got all this kind of stress. And sometimes it's just good to know that people are pulling for you and proud of you. All right? You see, those words need to start at a good point. When we think good of somebody, it goes nowhere. But when we say something, it's powerful. If I free those thoughts that are good, it builds people up and brings strength to their life. But most of the time, the ones we let out are the ones that tear people down. And often it has to do with the psyche, because we're not happy with who we are in the first place. I got to tell you, this was one of the weirdest, most trying summers of my life, just mentally, emotionally, a lot of different things. And professionally, you can name it. And there was a time in the middle of the summer where, and throughout the summer, there were several people in my life who I had been very close to. And in that, I was honestly really like broken by many of them with some of these life-taking words. And in that point, I was at a point where I was just like sitting there. It was one night I was preparing for church and I didn't feel like it. All right? I just didn't feel like it at all, because I was licking my own wounds and I'm speaking light because of others speaking life-taking words to me, I was speaking some of those same life-taking words to myself. And in the midst of that, I got on social media so I could beat myself up some more. And I found that, you know, it comes up, it says, so-and-so mentioned something about you. And it was a student I had had named Stephanie, who had had some losses in her life. Somebody she was close to had some trials and was beginning in a transitional point in her life. And she had mentioned some things about some people, and she had, you know, put my name on there. And I just wanted to read some of those things that came at this point. It said, and second is Jack Cohen. Words can't describe you, Jack. And I thought, uh-oh, here we go. And she said, you are such a beautiful, loyal, compassionate, and caring person. I am beyond blessed to be able to call you my friend. I am overwhelmed with the gratefulness that I have had the pleasure to meet you and have you in my life. Thank you for being there for me every day, every step of the way, every time I needed you, night or day. By Facebook, phone, IM, whatever source, I needed you. You were there to talk, to listen, or to sympathize. I wish I could find better words than just thank you to express my gratitude for all that you have done for me in my time in tears. You are an amazing man. Never change. I expect all of yours today. That came at the perfect moment. And I wrote this person back and I said, you goober. How dare you write me the perfect thing at the perfect time? She could have probably said, I'm not going to bother him with this, you know. He knows, but you just don't at times. During this week, I had people that came up to me. I had some repeat students. Two of them this week had said, you know, because I had you in a class, I changed my whole major because I loved the approach that you gave to it. It was incredible. But one of the greatest things is when I get things after church service sometimes, and somebody replied to me this week and said, I want to tell you, today's message was awesome, and I know it did not come from you at all. It came from God, and it spoke directly to me, and because of that message, it's changing my life from now. I've had people say, if it wasn't for you, I wouldn't know Jesus, and that's the only reason why I do what I do. And all this came to me. And you know what? You guys need to hear the same thing. Because we go through life hearing so much junk in our lives that we begin to believe that in our lives. And when we do, we need, so I'm going to give you homework. Here's your homework. When you think something good about somebody, send them a text, post a comment. By all means, if you have to, pick up the phone and dial it and tell them. Say it to them. Do something archaic, like write a note or a letter and mail it. That's the people who ride around in those little white Jeeps and you put something called a stamp on there. Tell them every single one that you have. I made a practice several years ago that if somebody, God put somebody on my mind, I was going to connect with them somehow. And time again, I've seen how that God has worked in that. Make it a rule. Every time you think something good, tell somebody. Don't ever hold back a blessing for someone. Don't rob anybody else from having blessings of giving life and having that life-giving statement to you. But not just other people. Start to say it to yourself. So many of us think so many negative thoughts about ourselves, and I love David in the Bible. One time when David was worried he was going to have people throw stones at him to kill him, the scripture records this in 1 Samuel 30, verse 6. It says, David encouraged himself in the Lord. You know what I find out in life? If I'm looking for encouragement from people in my life, there are many times I'm not going to get it. Sometimes I just need to get by myself, alone with God, and encourage myself in whose I am. Every now and then I need to have the best sermon, the strongest sermon for me, and that's to preach to myself in the mirror. I need to say, God, you give me the faith for this. God, you give me the strength for this. And I love you and I will stand up for you. You supply the strength. Every now and then you just need to speak up for yourself. If you want to see it, you've got to say it in your life. Say it out loud to yourself. Don't just think it. Just as Becky needed to hear it, you need to hear it from your own mouth. Jesus said, if you speak to the mountain and have faith, it that it will be removed, it will be removed. Ezekiel said to the valley of the dry bones. He didn't say, think at those dry bones. He didn't say, frown at those dry bones. He didn't say, start to connect those dry bones. He said, start to prophesy, speak to those dry bones. And that's when life comes to the forefront. Talk to them, speak to them. And so, God, I believe that you need to say these things. God, I believe that you're going to work in my life. God, by faith, I believe that you're going to heal the person that I'm praying for. God, I believe by faith that you're going to help me get out of debt. God, I believe that you're going to heal my marriage. God, I believe you're going to have a job for me today. God, I believe that you're going to do something in my life. God, I believe you're going to heal me. God, I believe it. And see how it changes your outlook on life. And when everybody else says everything else, and they tell you who they think you are, remind them of whose kid you are. There used to be bumper stickers several years ago. You know what bumper stickers are? Okay? It's when you had real bumpers. They put them, now they just hold the car together. But there used to be a bumper sticker, and I think our dad had it, that said, I am a king's kid. You're a child of the king. And don't forget that. Because it's often the small things in our life that be the big things. I'm going to give you, in closing, as we're winding down today, one life-changing phrase. Every time you say something to yourself or you say something out loud, add this to the end of it. And that's the way I want it. Casey and the Sunshine Band. For instance, if your marriage is rocky and you say, I'm so sick and tired of my marriage, it's probably going to end in divorce. And that's the way I want it. Or about yourself, you say, I'm pathetic, I will never make a difference, I never get the breaks, my life's always going to suck, and that's how I want it. It changes the meaning of it, doesn't it? Or what if you change in a positive way and say, my marriage isn't going well right now, but I'm going to surrender my heart to the Lord and I'm going to love him or her as Christ loved the church. I believe God is going to bring healing to my marriage because that's the way I want it. Or about my finances. I know we're in debt right now, but we're going to learn to live beneath our means. And with God's help, we're going to climb out of debt. We're going to not only become tithers, but we're going to be massively generous givers because that's the way I want it. Your thoughts matter because they become your words. Your words matter because they become your actions. Your actions matter because they become your habits. And your habits matter because what you do repeatedly is who you become in life. And you can make strong, small changes with your words that will be big changes in your life. So as we wind this service down today, I got to tell you, I thought back to a wedding that I had done, and I had worked really hard in this wedding. There was some other stuff that went on, and at the end, the wedding was a nice wedding, and then at the end of it, somebody came up to me and said, you might want to think about giving people a little bit more time to get the picture of the kiss. My immediate reaction was, you might want to take a little time and take my shoe and shove where the sun don't shine. That was my immediate reaction. I just smiled and went on. God has really grabbed hold of this tongue, let me tell you. But I was thinking about this and thinking about this. I'm like, are you kidding me? Everybody knows where it is. Where's it at? Where's the kiss? At the end. Get ready for it, okay? So I'm thinking about this. I'm thinking about it. It's starting to tear down. And I'm like, the wedding was fine. This person has some burr up the rear end and my size 10 and a half in a few minutes. Somebody, as soon as you walk out of here today, is going to try to take you with life-giving words. Don't let them. Week one, we prayed and sought out one word for direct us throughout the whole year. Last week, I asked you for one thought that would direct you this year. This year, I want you to have one statement. Can it be your thought? Yes. I will do the best to find rest in God this year. But verbalize it. Make one statement and have that right by you. One statement throughout the year. I will do the best to enter my rest. And see if that does not transform you. If you want to change the life you have, change the words you speak. Because words are powerful. They have the power of life and death in them. We don't always speak life-giving words to those we love the most. We don't even speak life-giving words to ourselves as many times. But we also don't take the opportunity to speak life-giving words like we should. If we think something's bad, hold on to it, skip it, zip it. We have something good, share it. Pass it on. Say it. Say what you need to say without me trying to get into a whole John Mayer kind of thing. And here's the big challenge for you this week, particularly since it's the beginning of football season. Don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. Even if you're a Philadelphia Eagles fan, as I am. But help build one another up according to their needs, to build them up in love. Why? Because our words matter. If we make those small changes, it'll change our lives, and maybe, just maybe, we'll change the lives of somebody else. Amen? As the praise team comes up, I'm going to ask that you stand and we enter into this time of prayer. Again, I'm going to ask right off the bat if two of our prayer ministers will come up, come forward. They're here just to pray with you. They're, as we're speaking, they're praying over everybody in this church. And sometimes we just have needs that we just want to go ahead. They're solid people. They love the Lord. They've gone through training for confidentiality, so it's not like you're going to share this thing. They wouldn't be up here if I didn't trust them. So utilize that. How many times during the week are you going to have somebody who said, hey, let me pray with you? And you have that opportunity today. So bow your heads right now. Father, we pray today that this one small truth will have an impact on our marriages, on our relationships and friendships, that will help move us to what you want us to become to be. And so God, as we continue this prayer, I just want to ask the people here if they will go before you and ask you for that one statement. That one statement that again and again they'll use that will give life to themselves over and over throughout the year. And if they're going to pray about that and do that, if you're going to do that, just go ahead and kind of raise your hand and say, yeah, I'm going to really make that commitment this year and this week to be that, that I can have that one statement. And God, I want to thank you for those people who just said, yes, I want to go ahead and do that. That's not just something that they're coming and hearing and not applying to their lives, but that they're really, really looking at their lives right now. Others may be here and say, I'm not sure where I stand with God. I'm not walking with him. I'm not good enough. I need to try harder before I come to God. Don't listen to that. Here's what the Bible teaches. The Bible says, guess what? You're correct. You aren't good enough, but Jesus is. And whoever confesses with their mouth and believes in their heart that he is Lord will be saved. Saved from what? Saved from empty life on earth, and more importantly, saved from an eternity in hell. There are those of you that are at this point right now in your life where you've been trying to get cleaned up and get yourself straightened up to get to the point where you accept Jesus. But go ahead and do that right now. In the last several weeks, we've had several people, young people, who have given their lives to Jesus and thrown parties in heaven. You may say, all right, Jack, you're right. That's me. I need his grace. I need his forgiveness. I need his mercy. So today, by faith, I want to surrender my life to him and make Jesus come in, have Jesus come into my life and make me new. If that's your prayer, go ahead and lift your hand real high and tell the world that this is what I want. This is what I need in my life. That's awesome. I see those people who really want to make that change, and all heaven is throwing a party because of that today. And I want everybody to pray together this, even if you've made this commitment, that everybody together just unites as one in this room. Heavenly Father, forgive me for all my sins. I confess my need for you. Jesus, save me. Be the first in my life. Be my Lord. Fill me with your Spirit so I can serve you. So I can know you. So I can follow you. And I can live for you. My life is not my own. I give it to you. Thank you for this new life I have now. Now you have my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Let's worship the Lord further and give the Lord a big praise, a clap. As we go further into this, come to the pray for the Lord. This is what it's about. All this other stuff is nice, but this is what it's about. A connection with Jesus Christ. Come if you feel led. All right. I pray that everybody will have an awesome week this week. And if you still need to pray with people, they're remaining up here. If you need to just talk with somebody or whatever, that's what we want to do. Just connect. Because guess what? When we go out those doors, here come the life-taking words. Am I right? So have an awesome week in Jesus. Next week is our last week of the series. And here's what it is. Your actions. Okay, and so I'm going to do one more action just to let you know I didn't forget. Go Eagles. Okay, have a great week in Jesus, and may the power of the Holy Spirit fill you. Amen. Amen.
Yeah.